Good afternoon, sluts. I'm Shay.
And I'm Josh. And this is the Slutty Podcast.
It's our Slutty Podcast.
Our Slutty Podcast.
And today we're going to be talking about age differences, both within dating and sexual relationships, and the way that society perceives them.
The way that we perceive society perceives them. Yeah, so I'm going to let Shay get started. What makes you a good slut? Like, why should we trust your experience on being a slut?
Lots of experience and knowledge. Coming up on my 10-year anniversary of having sex.
Wow.
Yeah, Thursday. Activity. Very, very exciting.
Wow, you know when you lost your virginity?
I know the exact date, yes. That's probably not great, but it was a very memorable situation. Maybe we'll get into that at some point. Probably been good at it for about 5 years.
Okay.
So that's solid.
According to you, or?
I've had favorable reviews online, more Google. So in the last five. Yeah, please leave me a Yelp review if we've ever hooked up.
The appetizer was amazing. Service not so good.
Anyway. So probably about 5 years of on and off experience as a sex worker, 6 years on and off of being polyamorous. I'm pansexual.
Did you know what polyamorous was at your first year of sexual activity? Did you know what?
No, I had no idea. I mean, I think at the time polyamory was it wasn't being called that. It was just being like a player fucking around, like whatever. And even when I started being actively polyamorous, I wasn't calling it that. I didn't necessarily realize that that's what I was doing. It's just that when my sex life shifted from me having sex with a lot of different people to like having emotional connections and like intimate relationships with multiple people that I maybe was or was not having sex with, that's when it became more in line with what I view polyamory as in my life right now.
So unpack pansexual a little bit.
Pansexual means that I'm attracted to men, I'm attracted to women, and I'm attracted to transgender and non-binary people.
Does that include other species?
Humans, please.
Okay. I just know that we have to clarify things because there's so much room for interpretation.
Yeah, there's a lot of terminology, I think, that gets thrown around that maybe people... And I mean... Some people think that they know what polyamory is, but since I've been more kind of open and active about that, lots of people are reaching out to me and asking me about it. Some of them with more of like a judgmental, like, what exactly are you doing? And then other people who genuinely want to know what's going on, whether or not they agree with it, which like, fuck off.
Yeah.
But
yeah, beliefs, I don't care about
people. I'm happy to talk about it. I'm happy to explain to people who don't know. And now that I'm reading The Ethical Slut, I feel like I can voice it in a way that's a little bit more...
articulate?
Yeah.
So what's this book, The Ethical Slut? Do you want to give us like a 2-minute review?
I haven't read the whole thing yet.
Oh.
It's one of those things where you start reading a book and you're like, oh my God, this book was written about me. And I'm just diving into it with like a highlighter and a pen and scribbling things in the margins and taking notes and putting it down to pick up the phone and call people and be like, I just read this amazing thing about like this and this and that. But I mean, it talks about, you know, a variety of relationships that people have with each other. It speaks mostly on polyamory, a lot of like non-monogamous situations, like utopian sexual communities. And it talks about polygamy. It talks about, a lot of like LGBTQ type things. It speaks a lot on what society has defined as like sexual deviance and how to kind of break down those societal stigmas around those things and kind of look at everything in like a fair kind of humanitarian type way.
Huh. Liberal.
Yes. Yes.
So you're a liberal, polyamorous, attracted to lots of different human beings, mm-hmm. different kinds of human beings,
mm-hmm.
and you find that generally people don't understand that in your experience? What that means? Like how that defines you as a person trying to navigate day-to-day being a sexual person.
Yes, I think that most people don't understand that. I think a lot of people don't want to because they are locked into what society says is appropriate, correct, what I should be wanting out of life, and the fact that I don't want to be in a long-term monogamous relationship, the fact that that's not even on the horizon for me, it's not something that I would consider. People kind of think, there's something wrong with you. There's something broken inside of you. You have had a negative experience that has pushed you into this deviant place where you are incapable of being in a monogamous relationship, which is, of course, the correct thing. When I think what they really don't realize is that I have struggled with monogamy long before a bunch of fucked up stuff happened to me.
Yeah.
It's who I am, fundamentally.
Interesting. So, now that we kind of, like, have, like, a broad, you know, paradigm to kind of look at who you are as a sexual person, like, and how you kind of navigate sexual relationships and stuff like that, like, currently or whatever, like, who are you as, like, a person? Like, where do you, like, a little background on just who you are?
Like, my character traits?
No, like, are you a Southern person? Or are you, like, who do you, how do you identify as a person, not just a sexual person?
I don't know how to answer that. I feel like I've been doing a lot of that lately. People will ask me about myself, and I'm like, I don't know, I'm smart, I'm educated, I am an extrovert for sure.
So is that your Tinder bio?
No. My Tinder bio is a list of things, you know, poly, bisexual, whatever. Tall, tatted, toned, total gym rat, chihuahua mom, huge hockey fan, sober and spiritual.
Interesting.
Yeah. Also, I always throw in that I don't want kids, and it blows my mind how many people reach out to me, and it says on their profile, particularly on Hinge, that they do want kids, and I'm like, that's cool. Pretty much anyone on these dating sites, I like to have the potential in my head that I could fall in love with this person, so anything where we don't already line up on that is a no for me, because with my last monogamous relationship, I met him on Tinder, I went over there, and we hooked up, and I thought that that was going to be, like, how it was, and I accidentally fell in love with him, and I told him that I didn't want kids, and it seemed okay, and then 9 months later, he was like, surprise, I want kids, and we broke up.
Ouch.
So, I think those things are important. So, yeah, that's part of my list.
Huh. Do you have a college degree?
I do. I have a degree in economics, and I graduated a year early with honors, because I'm a genius.
Oh, wow.
And also because of Adderall. Yeah.
Yeah. Adderall's great. Love it. Especially having ADD. Like.
Yeah.
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 I had untreated, well, self-treated ADD for years. And then once I became open-minded about having a doctor tell me, like, what I should probably take and what I shouldn't, and I got on the right medications and the right dosage, like, night and fucking day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
It's amazing what the correct medication will do.
Obviously, your degree from Adderall was not the right was it the right dose, or was it, like...
I mean, I sold half of it, so they were probably prescribing me too much, but I wasn't taking what they were prescribing me.
Ah, gotcha.
It worked out, among a cocktail of other things.
Interesting. Yeah. So we're not going to get into the addiction stuff, I guess? Like,
No.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it plays a role in our experience... But, I mean, we don't have to get super deep into that.
Yeah, well, it's a pretext. So, for our listeners that are still with us for whatever reason, we're just touching on Shay's background to kind of give you, that don't know us, sort of a context as to who's talking about this and why. And so, like, we end up having these, like, epic long conversations when we're talking. so that we felt like there's a lot that gets unpacked when we talk from our different paradigms as people. And so giving you a little context of who Shay is, and then giving you all a little context of who I am, and I'm sure there are less people that are interested in that. but, you know, that way you know why we're having a podcast. And so, you know, we're going to go ahead and just, with that little bit of an intro with Shay, I'm going to turn the table and, like, kind of Shay asks some, like, you know, because she knows me, some contextual stuff about me to kind of inform y'all who this male voice is talking. So why don't you go ahead and ask me some questions? Hold on, I'm going to mark our recording really quick. So I know. That's
it. Go ahead. And before we do get into it, I think a lot of the purpose of exploring these topics as who we are is that our experiences and our viewpoints are generally misunderstood by a lot of people, and that's sort of the place that we're coming from, and that's what we're trying to do here. Because we do have these conversations where we're unpacking each other's stuff that is very difficult to understand, I think, from an outside perspective. So this is kind of the space that we're working in.
Love that.
So, Josh, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you?
So I'm 48, I think. yeah. And so, I'm like Peter Pan. I never, you know, grew up. And, part of my story is the avoidance of things that entail, you know, being like a modern, you know, socially acceptable male in Western society.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sort of the realm that I find myself in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, white male, privileged, definitely heterosexual, but I have intimate attraction to some dudes in the way that they navigate life. And it's not, it would be easy to say that that's, like, not a sexual thing, but I was sort of brought into the world in this thing called the Human Potential Movement, and I was sort of born in a community house in the 70s to parents that were doing really deep psychological work, really deep body work, and they were sort of students of this thing called Gestalt Therapy, which is this character named Fritz Perls, who was a student of Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung, and a contemporary of them. And so the sort of landscape that I was born into, dad wasn't around, but they had an agreement. It was my mom would raise me. I was born to her women's group. There were like 12 women in the room when I was born, and like had no real father figure until I was about 5. So the only male figure that I really had around was my grandfather, who was the Southern Baptist Texan, and you know, his daughter was this like conscious exploring yogi, you know, astrology, like not like, you know, Sunday paper astrology. This is before like you would find a horoscope in the Sunday paper, you know, and so she had to be kind of like, but she was like actually casting horoscopes and looking at them in the way that Carl Jung would look at them, and that's with the archetypes that the planets represent and how those energies imprint on a person. And it's this really old thing that people have done prior to Western civilization, and actually prior to the Greeks, who we attribute. And I can get into, like, the part of my background is that I have sort of on the spectrum, so I have really deep understanding of and knowledge of things that most people don't really explore. And so, anyway, it's really hard for me to describe myself.
Josh is a knowledge junkie.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. I'm very, you know, I went back to college in my early 40s to pursue an engineering degree. And I found that I just like to learn how things work. And that includes people, society, planet, physics, who we are, what we are, what we are as opposed to what we think we are. And so I dive deep into those themes because most people just don't really interest me, and day-to-day stuff just doesn't really interest me. So I find stuff like that to be extremely interesting and good use of my time rather than wasting my time on, you know, delusional people.
Sure.
But I'm still very sexual, so, like...
Yeah, kind of get into, like, the experience side of that.
Yeah, so trying to date when I was a kid was difficult. I was sexually active from the time I was... I remember my first sexual experience. I was in kindergarten or something. That I had one of the girls... The girls loved to chase me. And they would, like, dry hunt me on the playground and stuff. And, like, I would get, yikes, like, an erection and stuff like that. And I remember... also, weird side fact... side note, like, I remember... My sister was in dance or whatever. She was my older sister. And I wore her, like, leotard to the playground because I liked the way it felt on my junk. And, like, I wore it under my clothes. And I remember just liking the way that it, like... I think it stimulated me. And so, like, that I was stimulated running around, like, the playground, like, playing. Like, these girls were, like, picking up on that and, like, chasing me and pushing me down. And, like, you know... Like, it was the push game or whatever, but what it really was, like, let's, like, I don't know, it was weird. It was a weird foray into sexual experience, and I know it's, like, kind of taboo to talk about, but it wasn't, like, penetration or anything weird like that. It was just, like, kids playing. But that became, like, a theme, like, in having multiple, like, some of my closest friends were dudes, but they had sisters and stuff like that, and playing house and, like, you know... It was always more than one woman. And, like, it was always, like, the things that would go on. There was never any contact or, like, you know, I think inappropriate stuff. I think it was just kids just, like, being kids or whatever. But, like, as I got older, looking back, what I noticed is that I would try to have, like, a girlfriend and inevitably be attracted to, like, four other people. You know, for the women. And, like, what I would notice that I would do is I would use whoever was attracted to me to get to the people that I was attracted to. So it's almost like using people as, like, a social currency to kind of, like, upgrade. And I think a lot of people do that without being aware that they're doing that.
Sure.
But that's kind of how I navigated trying to be in relationships, you know, and get sexual fulfillment. And it's really hard for me to describe myself. Sorry. Like, it's just, like, I'm the worst.
It's all very, like, specific life experiences to develop background. And, you know, a lot of these things we'll get into, because I think the point we're trying to make here is that we both have a plethora of sexual experiences that kind of all put together have brought us to the mindset that we're in today, where we want to do this.
I think my point is that I've been a sexual person since I was a kid. And,
yeah.
And now, as far as, like, being sexually active, you know, I think of, like, Juno when she's, like, questioning what being sexually active actually means.
Yeah.
Of course, she's a he now, which is interesting. The actress from Juno.
I am aware.
Yeah. Of love her. Love him.
Elliot.
Yeah. Elliot.
Page. Yeah.
Didn't realize that Elliot... had come out. Is transgender, is that the proper way to talk about it?
I think so.
Yeah, I was just reading about somebody dead naming him and how that felt. And he was articulating how it felt to be dead named. And I, you know, in a lot of ways I really resonated and empathized with that, because I think as we sort of wake up to who we are, what we were in the past that has sort of been the, I want to use big words, but I'm trying not to. I'm not going to do it. The soil that we kind of grow from isn't what we are. It's just what we took to get to where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, my empathy came in the sense that, you know, I sort of fall into this heterogeneous, like, you know, stereotype of, you know, single, straight, male. And society kind of backs me up, like, in that way. But anything that's not that, it has to fight to be here, sort of, to claim its space.
Right.
And when you see people claiming that, especially people that are, you know, more popular, it's really that they have to be vulnerable about the most intimate parts of themselves, and they have to literally fight for the truth of who they are. And I'm like, the things that I have to fight against in who I am in this subculture of being, or I'm a sub genre of single white, you know, heterosexual, but I don't have to fight like somebody that's transgender or pansexual or bisexual even. I'm, you know, I'm like at the tip of the iceberg, you know, where you can still see the iceberg, but there's like this whole, you know, spectrum of sexuality that society's just like, it's under the surface, so we don't really talk about it, even though we know it's there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think really, like, what we're trying to get at is how to unpack that, and how to make that more understood, right?
Mm-hmm.
But more in an exciting way.
Yes.
Yeah. So yes. Anyway. Yeah, so that's just me talking about me, and hopefully that's, like, enough to, like, interest you in, like, my opinion. and, yeah, it's hard to encapsulate me in a few questions, but anyway, that's all I got about me.
Our personalities will be fleshed out more as we go.
Sure.
So do you want to get into our topic?
Yeah.
For the day?
Sure.
I think kind of where I want to start is the kind of double standard, and I'm going to speak in, you know, kind of more binary terms when I say this, just because we are, but the double standard of age differences in kind of in like in sexual relationships, because obviously you're what, 21 years older than me?
Yeah.
So we can kind of speak from both sides of that, which is that I think there's more of a stigma on like younger women being with older men versus older women being with younger men. I don't want to say there's more of a stigma. It's just that the perception is very, very different, and I don't know that it necessarily should be.
Yeah, we can't dictate, you know, how society is a living, breathing organism, and it has an opinion, and it has consequences. Now, if you try to talk to society, you can't, because it's not an accessible individual. But it's this, like, weird thing that we all have to sort of exist in. And so, I'll use an example of the last girl that I dated was 22. And we were seeing each other for about 3 months. But it was under the context of, like, a sugar relationship, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But more, and it was interesting how either of us wanted anyone else to know that we were seeing each other.
Right.
But, like, when we would go out for coffee or whatever, you know, we're very much, like, sexually attracted to each other.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, it was almost that we had to hide that we were seeing each other. And it's like, here we are, just two, you know, consenting adults that met each other online, and, you know, I vet who I see, like, I don't, it, like, I wasn't seeing her just specifically to fuck her, like, I was seeing her because, like, I was physically attracted to her, but more so I was, like, intellectually intrigued, and that she was open to learning from someone that had more life experience than she did. And it was, like, a authentic, honest, like, that was an authentic, honest thing that she was, like, seeking. In addition to the benefits of somebody that's, like, you know, has a salary and a career. And, like, you know, like, obviously is a little quirky, you know, like, and, like, my pictures on my stupid, you know, varying profiles online. Like, I really don't think they do me justice. And, like, one of the first things she said when she met me was, like, you do not look any thing like your pictures, and like
you are far more attractive in person
in a good way
than you are in your photos.
I was like, how is that? And she's, I'm like, I'm overweight, like, I'm like, you know what I mean, like, I don't, like, you know, I'm not very attracted to myself, you know, like, so
when,
like,
I met you, I thought you were like 35 maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, what's weird is the past, ever since COVID, like, I really slowed down, and so I've aged more in the past, like, couple of years than I have my entire life.
Right.
And up until a couple of years ago, most people identified me as, like, 29-year-old, tattooed, you know, like, anomaly of nature, you know, like, red hair, you know, like, fair skin, like, you know, yeah, and so I don't, you know, I don't know how that experience, like, relates to the topic, but just the context of my experience dating somebody that's, like, much younger than me and how we navigated that in an establishing a relationship and how we had to kind of be undercover about it. And, like, there's like, at one point, like, you know, we were practicing safe sex, but we weren't using conventional methods. So, you know, there was a pregnancy scare, and she was just, you know, of course, the stuff going on with the Supreme Court and stuff like that, like, we're like, you know, it wasn't like a scare for me because, like, I have a kid and I know what it is to, like, raise a child, and, like, for me, not a big deal, like, yeah, you know, I can handle that, you know, like, financially, and I can also handle it, like, psychologically, and I can handle it, like, the stress of doing that on a day-to-day, day-in-day-out kind of a thing, mm-hmm. But, like, watching her, like, never having had a kid and, like, maybe having a kid with a dude that's, like, you know, 20-some years older than her, and, like, how do I tell my parents about that? And, like, all of that stuff is really, really, really speaks to this topic, like, and how important it is that it be addressed in sort of a public forum, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, what's your experience, and, like, you know, you kind of chose this topic, we agreed on it, but you brought it up, so, like, how does that, what was it about this topic that, like, made you feel like it's important to talk about?
So, I have definitely been, like, exploring the dating pool more in the last few months. And when I think about, like, what I want from people, I think that there are things that, you know, that guys my age can and cannot provide. I think a lot of what I've struggled with lately has been, like, the sort of expectations and perceptions in relationships. Usually when I'm dating someone my age, it's generally understood that we're bringing the same things to the table. Like, usually income is around the same, experiences are around the same, we're engaged in the same kind of lifestyle and activities. And it really does change the further that you get out of, like, that age range. But at the same time, I'll be talking to guys my age, and it's like, I mean, I'm 27. Other 27-year-olds are children a lot of the time. And probably a little past this time, like a little over a year ago, almost everybody that I was talking to was exclusively in their 40s.
Did that just happen, or was that something you were seeking?
I'm not necessarily sure. I just know that I was at a point where I was kind of starting to figure out who I was. But I was also getting very frustrated by people my age who had no idea who they were. And it felt like guys who were in their 40s, who had more life experience, whose personalities were solidified and were technically more mature, which not always, but
oh, yeah.
I felt drawn to them because I felt that they were more established in life than a lot of guys who were my age and people my age in general, because there are women my age as well who I feel like still don't know who they are.
Yeah, it's interesting to observe, like, that one of the things I find myself doing more often than not is observing rather than participating in life. And one of the things I know is that the last physical part of a human being to reach maturity is their prefrontal cortex, which is, like, the forward part of your brain. And it, like, doesn't physically reach maturity, depending on your genes, until you're between, like, 25 to 28. And so, what, you know, it's not outwardly visible. You know, it's not like, oh, you've got hair on your chin, you're an adult now. You know, it's like, you know, you've gone through puberty, you're an adult now, you can have kids, like, you're an adult now. And, like, I say that, and I just read this article about this, like, 10-year-old kid that's pregnant, right? And, like, obviously not an adult, right? Like, biologically yeah. capable of bearing children, not an adult. And then I think about, you know, there's this societal pressure to coordinate everything by the year that you're in. So, you know, 1 to 18, you're a minor, right? Like, you're doing minor things. Like, you're not, you know, responsible for what you're doing. You know, you need adult supervision. You know, you shouldn't be doing things, you know, that, you know, only children should be doing. You know, you should only be doing things that children should be doing, right? And so, you know, the reality of that is that, you know, the human organism itself didn't evolve under those strictures, right? So, like, you know, unfortunately, people were having kids at 10 years old, you know, for the, you know, million or so years that we can track the human experience, you know, in bones and stone. We see that more often than not, people don't typically live past 30 years old if they get to that, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of fucking going on, you know, like pre, you know, 30. And so now we're in a place in an industrialized society where we, our chances of getting to 30 in the United States are pretty decent, you know, but that's still not a guarantee. And so we're trying to navigate being human, having autonomy, being, you know, I think when we're sexually turned on, you know, biologically, we start to want to pursue that. And, you know, that's a biological imperative that's hard-coded regardless of what the law says. You know, I was fucking at 14. Like, I was, you know, I was trying to fuck, like, pretty much every day. And I was having, you know, I had a girlfriend, you know, and we fucked. And it wasn't, you know, there was no rape. You know what I mean? It was like she wanted to fuck me and I wanted to fuck her. And, like, we would sneak off and have sex. And, like, that's what we did. And, like, you know, we did it under, without the adults knowing, you know? And I think that's probably a lot more common than society would like to admit, you know? And I think that, you know, you get to 27. Wait, you said you've been sexually active for 10 years, so you didn't lose your virginity until you were 17?
Right.
Whoa, weird. Is that normal? Do you think that's normal?
I think I was probably at the midway point for my friend group. Like, I mean, a lot of people had been having sex since they were 14, but then a lot of my friends, you know, weren't getting into that until college. Wow. But I definitely was at a point where, like, my closest friends had all lost it, like the people in my immediate circle. And so I felt kind of a sense of urgency to kind of get that out of the way. It wasn't something that I planned. I wasn't in a relationship, but I kind of had a feeling that it was going to happen very soon. I had an experience probably about a week before I actually lost my virginity where I was at a party and I was making out with this guy. I didn't know him, but we had like a ton of mutual friends at the party who were all saying, hey, you guys should go upstairs and lose your virginities to each other. And an attempt was made, not successful.
Huh.
But after that point, I was like, I'm going to lose my virginity soon. Like, here in the next month, like, that's something that is going to happen. And it wasn't necessarily something that I was seeking out, like, trying to find somebody to lose my virginity to. But I think it just happened at a certain point. Like, because, I mean, being...
You just weren't sexually motivated?
Being an attractive... Like, okay, being an attractive teenage girl in that, you know, people are trying to have sex with me all the time. And so before that, I kind of had that mental block of, like... No, I'm not ready for it. You know, like, I'll go, like, make out with a dude and do, like, hand stuff and mouth stuff or whatever. But I wasn't ready to go all the way.
Were you one of those girls that was, like, having anal sex and not consider yourself a virgin?
No. Anal did not come onto the scene
until far later. I've dated some Catholic girls, you know, so.
I mean, I was raised Catholic, but that was never really part of my thing. No, it was never about, like, the stigma of losing my virginity for me. It was just genuinely about where I was at in terms of being comfortable with my sexuality, which honestly didn't really come on the scene until, like, another 3 years after that. But, you know.
So once you got sexually activated.
Oh, my God.
At 19.
17.
At 17, right. You're still a minor, right?
Yes.
So were you statutory raped by that person?
No. So... I mean, he was 18.
So you were?
Not in the state. Not in the state. Okay. No. It was totally weird.
Like, it could be a crime in one geographical area, but...
And that kind of plays into what else we're talking about, too, because, like, you know, in history, 14-year-olds fucking, not super weird. And the thing is that where people are at...
Getting fucking married to men in their 30s and 40s was common.
And over, you know, hundreds of years... there's no difference in where a 14-year-old is at mentally and physically. It's the same. It's just like the...
So you reach sexual maturity.
It's society.
Yeah, well, it has... it. Like I said, it's an entity that exists, that informs, and it has a myriad ways of doing that. It has all of these different ways that it tells us what it expects from us.
Right.
But it is not something that can be directly addressed. Like, you literally can't talk to the collective unconscious and say, hey, motherfucker, you're wrong, and this is delusional.
Yeah.
But what's interesting to me is that I think, if we were to look at this from, like, a psychological perspective, is that you get 14, 15, you know, for a guy, you know, you're getting hair on your chin, you know, your voice is changing, like, there's a few months there where you're not at, where you're a child turning into an adult,
right?
But then you're pretty much on autopilot. Things are developing, but they're mature sexually.
Yeah.
Right? But you're not an adult. And I think, you know, you watch the news and these kids, you know, people even that you're, you know, in social circles that you've been in, like I said, 25 to 28, you're still not biologically an adult specimen of the human species until those neurons in your prefrontal cortex have shed this weird little coating that they have that is the last vestige of childhood and the last vestige of, you know, the bridge of getting to adulthood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've got people that have all these opinions that are informing, that are shaping society, that are posting on Instagram and dating on Tinder and having sex and having sexual relationships that are not adults. And they really don't have all the faculties that an adult of the human species has. And to me, part of the delusion is that they're not informed of that fact, that they're making conclusions based on their experience with limited ability as far as, like, their organism. Like, literally, like, they don't have the capacity that an adult has.
Okay, so all of that being said, I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second. How do you justify fucking a 22-year-old?
Good, good, good. So, what is an intimate relationship? What's the purpose of an intimate relationship? Biologically speaking.
Sharing yourself with another person.
Okay, there's that. Let's unpack it a little bit more. In my experience, when I'm attracted to someone, it's not just because I want to fuck them. It's because I want to exchange an intimate experience with them. I'm both biologically drawn, I'm intellectually drawn, and I'm emotionally drawn into the exchange that could happen with that person. Yeah. So when I'm find myself attracted to a stranger, right? Usually, first, it's a visual thing. It's how they carry themselves. It's how they present themselves. More often than not, what I find is I find people that are attracted to me as well, but because of the way society is, it's never going to be an intimate relationship because of my age, because of where I'm at as an adult male in his 40s.
And speaking from the other side of it, it does feel that way, because when I find myself being attracted to someone who is, you know, say in their 40s, there's that immediate piece of them that is separate from everything else that I like about them. Is like, okay, I like them for this and this and this and this reason, and they're 20 years older than me.
Here's a great example. There was a, so I'm probably different because of my background and my upbringing.
I'm different.
but as an, you know, heterosexual male or whatever, in his 40s, when I meet someone that I am attracted to, I'm very much aware of, you know, how I will be judged by their friend groups.
Right.
If it it has to be sort of a closet thing, I've noticed. And if I really want to experience that intimacy with that person, or even explore the possibility of doing it, I have to let it be a closet. It's a closeted thing. It's like a deviant thing in a lot of ways. And I've, because I'm in the community that I exist in is, you know, I'm in the recovery community because of like my needs as a, you know, recovering addict and stuff. Like, I need to go to those communities for spiritual guidance and spiritual growth. And to maintain my sobriety, I've found that I have to go at least, you know, a couple of times a week and participate in these communities, in this community. And, you know, then I have my work community and stuff that's in my family community. But, like, which is something we were talking about before we started recording, but the way that I approach it is when, you know, I'm not on a dating app and I'm just going about my daily life and I find that I'm attracted to somebody and I can see that they're attracted to me and we start spending time together, one of the things that's happened in the past is where this isn't a sexual thing. This is I'm interested in you, we're friends, we're hanging out, right? We start talking. We're not even going to talk about that, because if we talk about the sexual attraction that's obviously there, it fucks everything up. But I had a situation where I was spending a lot of time with a girl that was like clearly not somebody that I would date, but there was clearly, you know, physical attraction going on. Like, I would see her like checking out my bulge and shit like that, like, you know, because, like, you know, I don't get to say stop, you know what I mean? Like, if my dick's hard, like, you're gonna notice, like, you know what I mean? And like, we were hanging out like every single day. We would like text each other like every single day. We would like we were hanging out, like, even throughout work we would be texting each other and like joking, and like it was like a relationship.
Yeah.
And there was a few times where it was like, wait,
what's happening here?
Yeah, there's cues that there's, you know, interest, sexual, there's sexual interest on both parts.
Right.
And it's like, do I sacrifice knowing that this is not something, like, I brought it up a couple of times. I was like, and she's like, yeah, but no. And we just left it at that, right?
Sure.
But when you spend a lot of time with someone, and that comes up more and more often, it's like any other relationship. It's like when there's a boundary that, for whatever reason, you know, people's social value can become less important, can become... you break up with people. Right. Because, you know, in that instance, it was very much a sexual relationship without sex. But because sex became more and more like, we can't get further without this.
Yeah.
In my experience, there comes a time when you're either going to fuck or you're not. And, you know, it's like they haven't come out of the closet that they're attracted to this dude that's a fucking anomaly, you know?
Yeah.
But they're not going to fuck me. You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm not going to date. Like, if I was like a homosexual, it would be like, if I had a best friend that was also like, you know, a homosexual, but closeted.
Right.
And like, it came to the point of, oh my God, like, I want to fuck you. Well, yeah, I want to fuck you too, but I'm not ready to come out of the closet.
Yeah. And I think that brings us back to the point of, like, things being perceived as deviant, and how we tend to navigate that differently from how I think a lot of people do, whose lives are more driven by what's socially acceptable.
It's the social currency is way more valuable than the intimate currency.
Yes.
It's like society itself has more weight. And I think that comes to the maturity aspect. And I think really what it comes down to is that people that... How I find myself in those relationships is that intimate value is more important than the social value. I.e., you know, the last girl I was dating, her friend group sucked. And she was lonely. And she turned to a dating app to find you know, a way to fill that loneliness and also, like, you know, maybe address the sex needs. Because I think once you become sexually active, it really is a need. You know, human contact is something, you know, if we take children and raise them with, there's been some fucking twisted studies where they don't give human contact to children, and these children turn out, you know, more often than not sociopathic, you know, homicidal,
just all the antisocial personality disorders.
And it creates that. And think about how gated physical contact has become. It doesn't reduce the need for it, but it has results when it's not given. In our society, it's like kind of inappropriate to even hug.
Yeah. And I think a lot of what we're talking about here is that underneath society, I mean, we're human, right? And what we need, what we have, like, biological needs for, I mean, even besides what we need sexually, what we need intimately, we need physical touch to feel human, to, like, love ourselves. We need to have intimate emotional and mental connections with other people. And I think that the more that society wants to, like, structure that and, like, put boundaries on it, I think the further away we get from
being human.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, it's crazy. I mean I'm not like, personally, that experience with this last girl that I dated, you know, it was a month and a half of texting and talking on the phone and going for coffee and really talking about, you know, I was always very upfront. I'm like, look, I'm sexually attracted to you, you know? And it's like, you know, it could be considered to be like a fetish, you know? But the reality is that, you know, my body tells me what I'm attracted to, right?
Yeah.
My conscience dictates whether or not I pursue that. Now, the other person, they also have to do that. So I'm not like a rapist. So it's like, obviously this is an adult with a legal adult that is younger and hadn't had the experience of being with somebody 20 years older than them, but was interested in exploring that. And the way that I presented it was like, let's get to know each other. I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that I don't want to fuck you, because I absolutely, like, want to fuck you. Like, you know, I watch that kind of porn, you know, like, not necessarily old dudes and young chicks, but, like, I like a 22, 25 year old, you know, girl. Like, it's just what floats my fucking boat for whatever reason. You know, it's my sexual preference. And by the way, it's a taboo. But before I was 40, when I was 30, I was still attracted to 22, 25-year-old women. In my 20s, 22, 25-year-old women. In my teens, 22, 25-year-old women. You know, it hasn't changed. I haven't. That sexual code that I think is hardwired in when I'm looking out of this organism and what my body wants and what is interesting to me aesthetically from sex, what's interesting to me in the communicative part of sex, like all of the things that come along with a sexual relationship and what I am seeking as a partner have never changed. Now, also haven't had a relationship that's lasted, you know, like, more than like a couple of years, right? And she aged past that while we were dating.
Sure.
And I've maintained contact with several women that over the years that I've met in that time frame, and we've continued to be intimate without sex. So it's not that I just want to fuck 22 to 25 year old women. It's that initial, you know, interest for me typically only happens, you know, in that area. Not to say that I couldn't go back and have a relationship with somebody that I had already had a relationship with, or that I've tried to date women my own age.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know, for me, it's just not, I'm just not sexually interested in them.
It's funny that you say that because it's kind of putting my experience, like, on a timeline of thinking about that, because when I was, you know, 18, 20, 22, I was sleeping with guys who were my age, but my general preference was to sleep with guys who were, you know, between, I would say, like, 30 and, like, maybe 45. And now that I'm approaching that actual age that is my preference, it's, like, more socially acceptable. It's easier to, like, find people who are in, like, that age range, because that's the age range that I'm, like, I'm not interested in fucking 22-year-old dudes. I never have been interested in fucking 22-year-old dudes. If that's who's around and I feel like I'm trying to get it poppin', then, like, yeah, sure. But
how common is that, though, that women just want to fuck?
I mean, I really can only speak from my own experience.
Yeah.
But I know that I'm a slut. So I kind of want to fuck all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, there's other people that are out as sluts or whatever, and that, like, I don't fucking care what society says. Like, yeah. Ultimately, I really don't.
And society says that people who are sluts or who identify as sluts, that it's very indiscriminate. And I think that in a lot of situations, it can be, like I just said, fucking other 20-year-olds when I'm 20. Not necessarily because that's my preference, but because I want to have sex and that's who's closest to me.
Right.
For whatever, because I'm in college or whatever.
Right.
But I think that, I don't know, I think maybe as I get older or I start to know more of, like, who I am, or because I'm sober now, I'm more discriminate, but not in the way that I think society would want me to be. Like, if society is going to say you're fucking indiscriminately and that's a bad thing, maybe that was true at that point. I'm more discriminate now. Still not up to society's standards, though, because I'm not adhering to a type. I'm not adhering to my own age. I'm not adhering to trying to get into a monogamous relationship with someone in a way that society deems appropriate.
Right. I've given up on that. Like, I tried.
I mean, I think that's why we're here.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly tried to do that and inevitably cheated on. You know, I've never been the type of person that's, like, normal. You know, like, yeah. I'm not, like, my Tinder profile is not gonna, like, attract, you know, a girl looking for a fucking husband. You know, like,
yeah,
honestly, like, Tinder doesn't even work for me.
And I feel the same way. Like, I'm not presenting myself as wifey material out there, because that's not what I'm interested in.
I think that whole thing is a delusion. I think people that try that inevitably find that, here's the thing, 99% of our DNA is shared with chimpanzees and bonobos. Like, it's the closest.
I was wondering when we were going to get to this point with you.
It's the closest non-human species that we have. So we're modeling behavior. Society, if you look at how chimps organize themselves socially, society's rules are more closely related to the way chimpanzees are, in that if you break a rule, you get fucking killed. Seriously, they'll fucking big alpha silverback will, or a big alpha chimp will literally kill another chimp that's out of social order.
Right.
Now, on the other spectrum, in this, like, very successful, you know, offshoot, the bonobos, they don't do that. It's actually the women that cast out and teach and inform and they do it by nurturing. They don't do it by punishment. Here in our society, if you fuck up, inevitably you're facing a bullet. Because if the cops get called and you don't comply with the cops, even if it's for a fucking traffic stop, if you oppose their authority, ultimately, you're facing a bullet. Like,
yeah.
That's the end game of all these ordinances in society That's how we enforce the rules, is guy with the gun, you know what I mean? Jail or bullet, right?
Yeah.
Well, it, obviously, like, we try to exist against, I mean, I don't, obviously, I follow certain rules because they're, you know, personal preferences, but, like, you know, I don't, there's no bullet because I'm dating a 22-year-old. Like,
right.
You know, maybe a jealous person. You know,
but it's not to that extreme,
yeah,
necessarily.
But the threat of that is there. I mean, there are obviously jealous people out there that don't like that I'm taking, you know, potentially taking one of their, you know, mates out of the dating pool because I'm, you know, smashing out a 22-year-old bitch. You know what I mean? Like, not a bitch, but like, you know, like a 22-year-old girl that wants to get fucked, like, by a dude that's, you know, thrown a lot of dick. You know what I mean? So it's like, I mean, I don't know. Once you're sexually activated and into exploring who you are in that way, it's like you find yourself, you know, in those situations. And I don't think it's fair that we, obviously there's enough of us that there's a subculture, right? And it's a thing that happens. And I am content to be that person and not let societal pressure dictate my sexuality.
Right.
Even though I still suffer from societal pressure, which is stressful.
And I think that's really the point, is that we're going to do what we want to do, provided it takes place within what we believe are our ethical responsibilities.
Yeah, absolutely ethical.
To ourselves and to other people. But there's always going to be the negativity, the struggle that comes with the fact that we're not operating within the constraints of society.
Yeah. I mean, I've dated four different people in the past 3 months. And the one that I was seeing the longest was only two and a half months or something like that. And the others, you know, it's not easy to cruise for chicks. It's not easy to cruise for intimate relationships within the context of this society for me.
Yeah.
Like, without judgment. Like, I was celibate for, like, 6 months because I was just tired of the social feedback that I was getting from my community. It was just like, you assholes have all these fucking opinions, and you're literally cock-blocking me. Like...
Yeah.
It's like... To me, it's the same thing as saying, oh, that's a homo over there. And, like, or that's a transgendered person. And, like, excluding them because that's how they identify. And right. I think it's horrible. And I think it's, like, for me to say, oh, you know, I should have rights or whatever, it's, like, it's bullshit. Because, like, obviously I can exist. But, like, for people that aren't on the... you know, socially acceptable side of that, more socially acceptable side of that, dude, that would fucking kill me. Like, if I was literally, like, the Supreme Court's, like, saying, no, you can't have a relationship. Like, that's fucked up. Like, it's obvious that, you know, people that identify as gay are, like, they're not lying about being attracted to people that are of the same gender as they are. It's like not, they're not just like conjuring that up and saying,
not
you know what?
Facilitating some kind of conspiracy.
I want all these fucking issues that come along with this. It's like they're well aware that society is saying no. You know?
Yeah.
It's a nightmare. Literally like some Twilight Zone type shit. That we exist in that. And I think people that, you know, pretend to be advocates of, like, sexual freedom and stuff like that, or they're, oh, I have gay friends, you know, like, but then they're off like, oh, yeah, it's wrong. How old is he? Oh, he's 10 years older than you. Judge. Pressure. You know? It's insane. It's absolutely insane. If you're an adult and you want to smash with somebody, you should be allowed to do that.
And I think that's kind of what we're talking about here in general. And in the future, we'll get into a million other subtopics,
like how to navigate
sluthood.
Yeah,
and how to kind navigate. Of trying escaping that judgment and existing in this way where you're true to yourself within this society.
Yeah, in a healthy way. And explore who you are and don't let society tell you who you are. You get to decide. You've got this slice of life and it is not infinite. And if you are being driven to explore who you are in a healthy way, like, and if you find yourself not being able to do that in a healthy way, there are people out there that, you know, have done that and that are doing that and that are about breaking society's opinions about what is right and what is wrong.
And two of those people are talking to you right now.
That's right.
So if you have made it this far, thank you so much for listening to our bullshit. And stay tuned.
Yeah. We'll be back next week.
Love yourselves. Love each other. Stay slutty.
Reach out and check out our links for, you know, if you need to get in contact with somebody or if you are interested in the topics. We're going to put some cool links in there and how to exist in a healthy way in whoever you are sexually. All right. I'm Josh.
I'm Shay.
This is the Slutty Podcast.